So thinking is something that we should do. And I believe this word is a type of thinking, maybe before it happens, before you take action. A lot of times we ought to engage brain before we engage mouth. I know I've done that often, you know, open mouth, insert foot, you know, think about what you speak, things like that. And that's what this, the title of the sermon tonight is, consider. Consider. In other words, think about it before you do it, or think about it before you say it, or think about it before you get involved in it. Consider. Stop and think. And so we see here in Deuteronomy 32, verse 29, it says, "Oh, that they were wise." So people that consider or think about it before they do it are considered wise. And you know, the testimony of that person's life usually bears that out. If they're a planner or a thinker, or you know, they get their ducks in a row before they, you know, go out, they're considering, and they're considered wise. That they understood this. The reason they understood it is because they took the time to think about it. Maybe even get some biblical principles from it, or some advice from somebody that's been further down the road. So, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider the latter end. And so if we look at it before we get started, usually our end's going to be a lot better. But if we just, you know, just go wide open, not thinking, you know, a bull in a china shop type mentality, just, you know, rush through things like that, we're going to make some mistakes. We're going to have some endings that are not great. You know, we've all heard the cliche, hindsight's 20/20. I had 20/15 in my right eye for a long, long, long time, and 20/20 in my left eye for a good while, and now not so much. I have to have these to read, and so forth. Now, one of my daughter-in-laws, the one that's, I guess they both almost have blonde hair. The one that has a little bit less blonde hair, she says hindsight's 50-50. She messes up those little cliches all the time. And so she told me one time that hindsight was 50-50. And I was like, I'm not thinking it was. But, you know, so anyway, she what was her latest one? Oh, yeah, keep your eyes on a swivel. That's what she was telling us. You know, and I think I said, I think it's your head. And, you know, that's what she said. All those deer up there, y'all need to keep your eyes on a swivel. And I was like, okay, I think it's your head on a swivel. But anyway, she does that often. But anyway, she told me one time hindsight's 50-50, and I believe it's hindsight's 20-20. But again, what that basically meaning is, if maybe if you'd have thought about it before you did it, you might not have chosen that path, or you'd have maybe planned different. Hindsight's 50-50. You know, you look through the Old Testament, and I think if Israel, especially if you read Israel's path, if they would have considered before they did some of the things that they did, they would not have ended up in captivity as much. And so you would see them, they would do that which was right in their own eyes, or they would turn their back on God, and they would end up in captivity and serving and being in slavery and things like that. Then they would get right, and God would work at it, and then maybe they stop considering or whatever. So a lot of times it says here that Israel was wise. If Israel were wise, they could have easily overcome their foes through the help of the Almighty. So a lot of things that they went through in the Old Testament, you know, famines, you know, God was capable of bringing them through those famines. He dropped food from the sky. He multiplied food, things like that. He was able. But they just stopped trusting him. They considered, oh no, what are we going to do? And they went to foreign lands, and they went to places, and they turned their back on God. It says here, but he would help them. But having forsaken him, they left him. They came under the power of the enemy, and so they basically were, I guess, what we might call short-sighted. In other words, they were looking at the immediate. They weren't considering what it might bring. And of course, you could. Put anybody that's addicted to anything or anybody that's involved in things they shouldn't be in this category right here. They're only looking right there in front of them. You know, it says the only thing they see is what's right in front of them, and their mentality, if it makes me happy or if it feels good, I'm going to do it. They're not considering the consequences. Again, we talked about some health problems here tonight. There are some health problems that are brought on by not considering. The person that is maybe passing away with cancer that was caused by years of smoking. If they would have considered that, maybe that wouldn't have been brought on. versus cirrhosis of the liver, and there's several, bad habits that cause health problems. But they were just looking right in front of them, looking right in front of them. So wisdom is seeing not in content, but it says here, estimating the present experience and fortunes, what it brings for me right now. And they embraced it, that remote issue in their choices, and they didn't look at the possibilities of the future. But every beginning has an end. And every end demands serious consideration at the beginning. And that's what the Bible says here, that we ought to consider the latter end. Of course, a person that goes through life and they hear about how they need to be saved. I'll do that later. They're not considering the end. Hell is a horrible place, and nobody should desire to go there. And so they need to consider and take care of that now. And as we see here, the highest wisdom forecasts the whole reach, the beginning, the present, and the future. And so when we consider, we ought to consider what it does right now. What does it do to my testimony? How does it affect my relationship with God right now? How is this going to affect in the near future? And then how is it going to affect in the future? We ought to consider that. So we can take, you can't take it with you. We have to consider. So even not only health, but our financial means. We see in Ecclesiastes 7:14, it says this, that the day of prosperity be joyful. So in other words, if you have your needs met, maybe you have a little bit in the bank and you have a little bit set aside, things like that, nothing wrong with that. We can be joyful about that. But in the day of adversity, consider, the Bible says, that God has always sent one over against the other, and the end that man should find nothing after him. So in other words, God's saying, you ought to consider being right with me more than your 401k. Nothing wrong with having one, but you ought to consider being right with me. Because you're going to probably leave that 401k to somebody else, which is fine, and your children appreciate it, and so forth. But we ought to consider how we live, because we're going to face God one day. Hebrews 13:7 says this, remember them, takes considering, remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow. And then it says here, considering the end of their conversation. So as a preacher and as somebody that tries to preach the word of God to people, that's one of my desires, that you consider what I'm saying. Not because I'm saying it, but because the word of God's saying it. And because there is an end. We're all going to stand before God one day and give an account. And so I'm not just, blah, 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 blah. I'm just not saying stuff, but I want you to consider. And that's what the Bible says in Hebrews 13:7. The people that speak the word of God to you, consider the end of their conversation. So when we do have guests, and I hope we start having lots of them that maybe not are saved, of course, they'll hear it, how to be saved. And I hope they consider that. And then there's people maybe that they're new Christians, and they'll hear me say something from the Word of God, or they'll hear you say something encouraging them, and it won't make sense to them. But I beg and pray that they consider. They may be up to something right there, and so forth, and get what we're trying to testify to them. So consider basically just means to think carefully about it. To think carefully about it. We ought to consider. When I go to a wedding, I'm already married, but I consider. How's my relationship with my wife? How's our wedding? How's our married life going? We got married 33 years ago, but how's it going? Right now, we're like Lucy and I guess, what TV show did you say? Yeah, the Dick Van Dyke Show is what she said, because they have the bedroom that has the king-size bed in it. We have two twins. So we're like, hey, how you doing over there? I consider and reflect about weddings. Again, I remember back, when we were that young. And I obviously consider how God's blessed us. And it's because we've put Him first and we've tried our best to live for Him. Then I also consider some that maybe were taught like us and got married like us and started like us, but are divorced, or they're out of the will of God, out of church. And I try to consider and reflect. When I go to a baby dedication, when I've seen a baby dedication, I try to reflect and consider. And I praise the Lord how God's using our boys, and I pray that He keeps them in His will and things like that. And I reflect on things like that. But then, obviously, there's some that maybe have been taught that. They don't know the Bible. They don't know what they're commanded in the Bible to do. And you reflect and consider. When I go to a graduation, I reflect and consider. When I go to somebody's retirement party, I reflect and consider. And definitely, you go to a funeral, you reflect and consider. So we ought to think about things that we go through. So, a couple things here tonight. We'll look at three or four points about considering. Number one, take inventory. Take inventory. I've had a job before where that was one of my duties, was to take inventory. One of the first jobs I had when I was in Bible college was at it's kind of like a Foot Locker, Sports a Foot is what it was called, things like that. And I had to go back there and inventory those shoes. And so forth, an inventory of the shirts, an inventory. And so you're considering what's there. And again, in our day and time, there's those little things that they stick on them, so when they go out the door, if they haven't paid for it, sets off the alarm and things like that. Why? Because people have stolen things. They have signs on the door, do not take merchandise in the restroom. Why? Because people have taken those shirts, went in there, put on a new shirt, and stole it. Stuff has happened like that. And so the boss obviously wants us to make sure we are inventory things like that. But in a Christian's life, we ought to take inventory of our life. An itemized checklist, checks and balances when we're considering. Why? Because there's going to be an end to this Christian life one day, and I'm going to stand before God. So I want to take inventory throughout, not 2 days before I get there. You know, obviously, if we knew that Jesus was coming back in 2 days, we'd be getting some things right. We'd be hurrying. Oh, my soul, just 2 days, and we'd be rushing. But we ought to consider that we don't know when it is. It could be in 2 days. So consider and live like that. So here's some checklists, some itemized checklists that we have, checks and balances. I ask myself the question, am I right with God? Am I right with God? That's an inventory. That's a checklist. Am I right with God? Another one, am I blessed or cursed in the area of my giving? Am I blessed or cursed in the area of my giving? We put our tithe in Sunday. Why? We're members here. We tithe Sunday. And why? Because I don't want to be cursed of God. I want to be blessed of God. And so, again, I told them, I was like, now, my tithe won't always be that high. They had a going away party for us our last Sunday in Florida, and lots of cards were given to us, and lots of green stuff in those cards, lots of plastic stuff in those cards. We used them tonight for supper. All right, but I tithed on all that. That was a gift. I didn't, you know, that was given to me. But I wanted to tithe on that. So I check inventory. Am I blessed or cursed in the area of my giving? Am I giving the right amount of time in my service to God? Now, obviously, I'm a pastor, so a lot of my time will be in the service of God. But even if I was a layman, I would say, am I giving enough time in my service? Do I invite enough people? Do I help the church? Obviously, last Saturday, there was a lot of men up here and a few ladies working. That's serving God. Passing out bulletins on Sunday morning, that's serving God. Saying hello to a visitor. I think Marianne, is that her name? Marion? All right. Two Sundays in a row. Speaking to a visitor. That's serving God. Anything that we do for the church to help the church is serving God. Just being nice. That's serving God. Smiling. That's serving God. Hello, how are you doing? That's serving God. We want to do that. Obviously, out in the community, inviting people. That's serving God. Do I have enough amount of time, my inventory, my checklist. Do I need to confess anything? Do I need to confess anything? This is my itemized, I'm considering. I'm looking at my life. Is there anything that I need to confess? An attitude that I might have? A grudge that I might be holding? Something that angers me? Should I give it to God? Is there anything I need to confess? Is there anything that I need to change in my spiritual routine? I am very regimented. I do pretty much the same thing every morning, in the same order. I place both my hairs, and then I brush all my teeth, and I go through that. I mean, just pretty much every morning. I'm very routine. So we see here we ought to have a spiritual routine. And is there something that I need? So number one, in considering, we ought to take inventory. Number two, we ought to get perspective. Get perspective. Some people, if they're taking inventory, they might maybe over-exaggerate. Or freak out a little bit, or have an anxiety attack. And no, just get perspective. We're not trying to, you know, oh my soul, we freak out a little bit, but just get perspective, a mental view. When you're considering, you ought to get a mental view. The Bible says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. James 4:14 says this, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. So we ought to get perspective. 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years with the Lord. So we might think, man, the Lord was here, 2,000 years ago, and it's been a long time. It's just been a couple days for Him. Everybody's like, Jesus is coming back. It's just been a couple of days in His mind. For us, it's been a long time. It's been a lifetime and some. But get perspective. Our life is short. They say the older you get, the quicker your birthdays come. It seems like yesterday I turned 55. All right, woof. And they just keep coming faster. But we ought to get a mental view. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. So if we're considering, we ought to take inventory. Number two, we ought to get a perspective. A perspective of this. What does the Lord think about me? We've always been thinking that way. From when we were a kid, what does all the people in my classroom think about me? What does my teammates think about me? What does all the girls in the school think about me? We're always worried about what people think about us. What does people think about me at work? What does people think about me in my family? Things like that. But get a perspective. It really doesn't matter what those people think. We're not going to give an account for that. It matters what Christ thinks about us. What does Christ think about me? What does He think about the job I'm doing in my Christian life? What is He going to say to me when I stand before Him? We're getting perspective. What will He allow me to do for Him throughout eternity? The Bible teaches that, if you've been faithful in a little, He's going to let you be be in charge of a lot when you go through eternity. So in perspective, we have 70 promised years down here on this earth. And obviously God can bless us past that. He can also shorten that. But perspective, we're going to spend eternity with Him. So we ought to get that perspective. So number one, we ought to take inventory. Number two, we ought to get a perspective. Number three, here's one, recalibrate. Recalibrate. In other words, take care of what's fixing. So if we're considering and we look at it, we're taking inventory and we've got a perspective here, it should show us some things that we might need to fix. Some people... A lot of times we see and know what the problem is, but we don't do anything about it. For instance, when my truck wouldn't crank the other night, click, 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 click. I mean, immediately I said, something's up with the battery. But I could have jumped it off and said, it'd be all right. Till the next time I turned it off, and then it would probably be click, 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 it'll quit that. No, it's not going to quit it. We've got to take care of it. We've got to get it fixed. And again, I remember back in the day, I had a stick shift truck, so it was not that big a deal that I had a bit dead battery. I just park it on a hill, all right, and roll a pump, pop, there we go, I'm good. But when you have an automatic, you've got to take care of the problem. So when you inventory and you get a perspective here, it'll probably show you some things you got to fix. But don't just push them under or hide them under the rug or try to ignore them. You got to recalibrate. Recalibrate basically means to reset something again. Computers these days, I don't know a lot about them. My phone, Brother Derek had to help me the other night because, my sons aren't here anymore. Anything I had to own my phone, I said, here, put that on there. Here, fix this. So Brother Derek said, yeah, we got this and we got this. I said, here. Put it on there. And so praise the Lord for Brother Derek. My phone gets phone calls from here and gets text messages or emails to the pastor at Lighthouse. Thank you, sir, for fixing that. I don't know how to do that. All right. And so, I do know that's the first thing I try. My phone's not working. I think it's like an Etch-a-Sketch sometimes, Try to make note. That doesn't work. My boy's like, Dad, you can't erase it that way. But anyway, I do know the first thing you do is what? Turn it off. All right, I can do that. Turn it back on. Oh, praise the Lord. It's fixed. So, but at least you have to try that. And then if it doesn't do that, then you throw it out the window. Is that the next step? But anyway, you have to fix it. So sometimes systems gradually drift off course, and the navigator periodically needs to refresh the system. In other words, get a new point of reference. I don't know if anybody in here has driven boats or things like that, or a plane that has all that kind of equipment on there. But if you're off just a little bit when you start, it's not that big a deal. But by the time you get to your destination, you're going to be way off. Now, I don't understand that much. But I do know that all my weapons are in a pod traveling up here. All right? And so if I go deer hunting next year, I will have shot that 270 a couple times before I go out into the woods. Why? Because I know that scope could be bumped. All right. And again, if the deer is 2 yards from me, it's not going to be that big a deal. But if he's 200 yards and I'm shooting, it's going to miss him by 10 feet if that scope is off. So we have to recalibrate. So I get that. Bring it back. Sometimes we just go through life. We get away from our devotional life or our prayer life. And we take inventory, we get the perspective and say, man, I've drifted. So I got to get myself back over here, recalibrate. And so we see we can be off a little bit when we leave, but by the time we get there, we're going to be well. We ought to take inventory, get a perspective, and know what we need to calibrate. If we get off course, just get it back. And the sooner the better. The sooner the better. Number four. Not only should we take inventory, we get perspective, we recalibrate. Here's one. Number four, determination. When you're considering something, you ought to be developing a determination, a determination, having reached that decision. I remember going out. I told you I didn't like school much, but I apparently liked ninth grade. I liked it enough that I did it twice. Okay, I liked ninth grade really well, and so I did ninth grade twice. So, but I was determined. When I got to high school, public high school, I was determined to make the football team. I'd played in junior high and so forth, middle school. And when I got to high school, I was determined to make that football team. Now, when we went out there, there were hundreds going out. You know, everybody wanted to be the quarterback. There was 95 people in line to be a receiver and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm considering. I'm looking around. And, you know, us ninth graders trying out, they told us to go in the field house and just get us some equipment. So nothing matched. I had a helmet that didn't fit, you know, two different size knee pads and things like that. I had to duct tape some of them on. We didn't have very nice equipment. And when we came out of the field house, they had a piece of duct tape. They put it on our forehead and they wrote our last name right there. And so I'm sitting there, you know, I look crazy, I'm sure. Tape this, tape that. And I got a piece of duct tape that says Stanley on it. And so I'm watching. I'm considering. I'm determined to make that team. And so I watched when they would run us through drills. If somebody laid the wood, wham! They looked over there at that piece of duct tape and their name got written down on the clipboard. So I was like, okay. Next drill, the first drill I'm from, I'm breaking that dude in half. All right, so first drill I went through, bam, I hit him. And I, sure enough, guy grabbed me by the face mask, wrote Stanley on the clipboard. That's how you got on the clipboard. I was determined. And then they kept narrowing it down. And I had a big time headache that day, but I was determined to make that team. And so forth. And so then I kept hitting people so hard that they would let me be the demonstrator. All right, where's that Stanley kid? He ain't scared of anything. He's, you know, no brain. Come here, showing them how to do this. I'm like, oh, goodness. All right, but I was determined to make that team. And so we see in the Bible, there are several guys that we're going to look at here in conclusion that they were determined. They had took inventory. They had gathered perspective, a mindset that Christ would have. They recalibrated and they were determined that they were going to please God. They were determined that when they stood face to face with Jesus, they would hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So we'll look at them in conclusion here. Paul said, this one thing I do. All right, Paul was kind of like me. He said, this one thing I do, and then he listed a bunch of things that he was going to do. All right, but he was, this one thing I'm going to do. He was determined. He said, I'm going to press toward the mark. And so he was determined. Paul took some consideration. He's like, man, I've been persecuting Christians. I've been living a wicked lifestyle. I haven't done anything for Christ. I've actually hurt the cause of Christ. So he took inventory. He got a perspective. He recalibrated and he said, this one thing I'm going to do. And so, I mean, he wasn't going to get married. He was going to spend all his time helping God. I mean, he did a lot, but he pressed toward that mark. He was determined. And Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. The reason he could say that was because he took inventory. He had the right perspective. He recalibrated and he was determined to stand before God and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Isaiah 50 verse 7 says this, for the Lord God will help me. So Isaiah took inventory, got perspective, and he did all the things that he needed to do. He recalibrated. And he said in verse 7, it says here, for the Lord will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. So Isaiah, he was determined. I mean, set his face like a flint. I mean, hard as a rock. Nothing's going to determine me. After he did those things. Joshua chapter 24 verse 15 says this, and if it seem evil to you, all right, I've considered, and if it seems evil for you, you're just going to have to deal with it. I'm sorry. All right, he considered, he got all these things in his mind. And he said, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, he was determined. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So not only did Paul have this determination and Isaiah had this determination, so did Joshua. And that's what he said. Look, I've considered. And I've done all these things that we need to do to have that mindset. And if it offends you, I'm sorry. If it seems evil, I'm sorry. This is what I'm going to do. And you might have to say that to coworkers. You might have to say that to friends. You might even have to say it to family. All right, look, if this offends you, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm not going to be like, you know, chewing you out or lecturing you all the time. But as for me, I've determined this is the way I'm going to live. Daniel determined. And Daniel 1:8, and it says here, Daniel purposed. But the reason he purposed was he considered. And he took an inventory. And he got that mindset and he recalibrated. And he said, no matter what, he said, I purpose in my heart that I would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine of his dainties. And so he determined. That I'm not going to do anything that would hurt me and do harm to me and that would cause shame to come on the cause of Christ. And the last one, Job 1:21. Now Job, obviously, you know the story. God is the one that even asked Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Why? Because he knew Job had done all these things. He had considered. He had taken inventory. He had recalibrated. He was determined, and he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return thither. And the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So what Job had done was determined that I'm not saying anything negative against God. I don't care what has come into my life. I'm not saying anything negative against God, because naked I came in, naked I'm going out. He even had the principle that his ways are higher than my ways, his mind's higher than my. God knows best. So I'm determined not to say anything negative against the Lord. And I'm just going to trust him. And what'd God do? He gave it all back. Right? 10 more children, way more sheep, lamb, donkeys, things like that. So we see here, we got to consider. And in considering, we ought to take inventory of our life, get the right perspective, recalibrate, fix what needs to be fixed, and determine to stand before God one day and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So we have some consideration. Again, don't be like me. Don't have somebody say, what were you thinking? And don't say, oh, I should have thought of that. No, let's be like these guys. And let's actually think. Let's actually get the right perspective. Let's fix what we need to fix and be determined that we stand before God one day and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So praise the Lord. Appreciate you being here tonight. And we'll have a word of prayer. And we'll be dismissed. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, we do ask you to be with all the prayer requests that we mentioned tonight. Lord, help us to pray about the ones we remember. And Lord, I just ask you to just have your will and way. Lord, bring us back safely on Sunday. Lord, give us visitors in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.